Hi, I'm Mike, founder of DollarShaveClub.com. What is DollarShaveClub.com? Well, for a dollar a month, we send high-quality razors right to your door. Yeah, a dollar. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades, an aloe vera lubricating strip, and a pivot head. It's so gentle, a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19, go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis.
And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome ass grandfather had one blade and polio. Looking good, pop up! Stop paying for shave tech you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. Alejandro and I are gonna ship them right to you. We're not just selling razors, we're also making new jobs. Alejandra, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay. So stop forgetting to buy your blades every month and start deciding where you're going to stack all those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on. I know karate, I know jiu-jitsu, I drive like a gangster when I'm coming to see you.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the health care coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $10,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
The following program may contain coarse language and adult themes, and there may or may not be copious amounts of wine.
Everybody, how are you doing? It's Darrellyn Haywood, and Diane is, I hear an echo, Rick.
It'll stop in a second. It's a bit of a feedback loop from the bumper.
Diane has a storm going on in New Hampshire, so she may or may not join us. So hi, Di. I hope you're enjoying your night. I am honored to have a guest tonight, Amanda Orlando, who is a state committee woman. She was also Jeff Deal's campaign manager. I'm so happy to have you here tonight, Amanda. Amanda is also in law school now. Have you finished your third year? Or are you in your third year?
I'm in. So my school is a four-year program. It's a part-time program because I've worked full-time while going to law school. So I am now in my fourth year. Tomorrow, I will end my last classes of the first semester. And so I have one semester left and I will take the bar exam next July of 2023. So I am so close and looking forward to being done.
I do not wish having to take the bar on anybody after taking the lieutenant's exam for the Massachusetts State Police. I felt like I had to pass the bar. So how long have you been in the state committee? And can you give our listeners just a little bit of a background of what state committee is and where it sits in the hierarchy of Republican, you know, town committees, are regular registered Republican voters, and what it is that they do or expected to do?
Sure. So I have been a member of the Massachusetts Republican State Committee since 2017. But I have been a Republican activist since 2012. So initially I joined my local town committee, the Gloucester Republican City Committee, because I live in Gloucester, Massachusetts. So I just joined that committee, like most people do, because I was concerned about what was happening in the world, nationally, in the state, and in my own community. And I thought, well, this will be a way for me to be, you know, working with like-minded people and volunteering my time to make things better. And that was how it started. The state committee is a man and a woman representative from each of the 40 Senate districts in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So my Senate district is the first Essex Middlesex. It's State Senator Bruce Tarr's district. And so I am the female representative from my region, and Rich Baker is the male representative. And so there are 80 members of the state committee in total, plus the chairman, who is separate from the state committee. And what happens is the state committee members get elected every 4 years on the Republican primary ballot. So in 2020, I was reelected when Massachusetts Republicans went to vote in the presidential primary. They voted for either Donald Trump or Bill Weld for president, and they could vote for me in my district or any other, you know, state committee member in their specific district.
So Bill Weld or Donald Trump?
Bill Weld or Donald Trump. Those were the choices in 2020 in the Republican primary for president.
Oh, boy.
Interesting combination.
So how many state committee people do we have in Massachusetts?
80.
Do we have any vacant seats?
Right now, I think there are 7 vacant seats, actually. So we don't
80 minus 80, right? Okay. And so what I understand that they do is they establish policies. And can you tell me how that works? They establish policies for the state committee, or are we establishing policies through the committee that they have that is the issues committee? So each the state committee has subcommittees within the state committee.
Right. So we are, you know, we're the representatives to the Massachusetts Republican Party, just like Massachusetts has two representatives to the Republican National Committee. It's the exact same makeup. We just do it on the state level. And within our committee, you know, just like any committee, like any organization, we have bylaws, we have procedures, and then we have subcommittees on different topics. So I am the chairwoman of the candidates committee. For example, our job
is a budget committee, a candidate committee, finance and issues committee, public relations, registration and membership, and then a bylaw committee. Is that correct?
Yes.
And an executive committee.
Also now have an election integrity subcommittee as well that was formed after the 2020 election.
Now, wouldn't that be covered underneath the registration and membership, or they felt the need to establish a separate committee?
So registration and membership is more focused on getting independents to register as Republicans and building the number of Republicans that we have in the state. And the election integrity committee was really focused on what happened in 2020, what's going on with mail-in balloting, you know, what do we need to do to secure our elections? So that was what they were focused on. So it was a little different.
So prior to that, the integrity membership committee being formed, the registration membership committee, they were supposed to promote local and regional efforts to review the conditions of local electioning machinery. And that also includes clerks, wardens, elections, election committees, and they're supposed to monitor programs and implement to make sure that they're implemented at the state and regional levels. Can we say that we have lacked an effort in that area of registration and membership, or are we doing the best we can, or what are we doing to promote the conditions of local elections and the machineries, especially down here in Barnstable, where, you know, our parts and machines were, you know, allegedly locked in a vault overnight?
So we have a problem in general in the Republican Party. First of all, half of our state committee truly does absolutely nothing. I mean, a lot of the members who are on our state committee, they don't do anything in terms of helping Republicans get elected or doing these jobs on these different committees. So that's the first problem, right? Is that
maybe we should have a committee of an integrity committee for the actual state committee members?
Yeah, because I think it's a membership issue, as most committees are. I think there are some people who run for state committee because they think that it makes them important or gives them a sense of power or gets them close to the sitting governor or whatever their motivation is. You know, I was foolish enough to run because I actually wanted to get more Republicans elected. Go figure.
That's why I joined my local Republican town committee as well.
Exactly. So the election process in the state, the Democrats have it completely down to a science. They pepper local election officials are all Democrats. Local town clerks are Democrats. I mean, at every level of government, they have filled seats with Democrats. And for Republicans to really start to compete, we have to figure out a way to get our people elected to those positions and to get them into those positions, because then we'll have reliable sources as a first line of defense against any issues, because there are all issues. I mean, Barnstable is just one example, right?
The vault was such a mess.
Right, but it happens everywhere. And frankly, and I am not an election denier. I am not a person who gets myself worked up, you know, about a lot of things, but I do believe that I know for a fact that there are problems, and I think a lot of them happen because we just have people who have no idea. You know, they're probably well-intentioned, but they just have no idea what they're doing.
So it's more of lack of knowledge, lack of training. So in Massachusetts, in 2021, in February of 2021, we had 4.73 million registered voters. Of those, 46,000 were Republican, which was down from 460,000, from 546,000 in 2020. Of that, 1.49 million are registered Democrats and 2.72 are registered unenrolled. Now, what we obviously Republicans need to give ourselves a kick in the pants to get some of these people, these unenrolled, you know, registered as Republicans. And what I see as, you know, two of those sections of the state committee, and you tell me if you agree, maybe you don't, you have more experience than I am, but the public relations committee is basically how do we present what being a Republican means to foster, promote, develop Republicans, Republican proposals to inspire party members and advise party leadership and recommend media proposals, radio ads, develop data on Democrats, monitor news articles, and get out letters to the editors. So that's the Public Relations Committee.
Right.
The issue, you want to talk about one at a time?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the Public Relations Committee. Are we fostering and promoting proposals, or do we not have money to do that? Why haven't
well,
we?
Well, okay, so to back up, we have a good structure on the state committee. As you can, you've been reading off the different committees we have, and those are all really good structures. But what it takes is leadership at every level to keep those committees going, right? So, like, I run the candidates committee. So we would have, until election season started, we were having regular meetings and saying, okay, where do we need to recruit candidates? What are we focusing on? We'd be talking to the chairman about it. Same with the Election Integrity Subcommittee, which Kathy Lynch runs. She's very active. They did a lot of research. They did a lot of work. It requires that. In the last
who does the Public Relations Committee? Do you know off the top of your head?
I believe it. Well, it was Amy Carnevale was the chairwoman at one point. And I think Sid Starks is now the chairman. I'm not sure. Okay. I that's the case. But we're definitely not doing the job of properly promoting what it means to be a Republican in 2022. That's for because sure.
What I see, you know, I love to watch and I love to listen and I love to go on Democrat or liberal sites as much as it makes my hair curl. Just to hear what they say. And what they say is that, you know, we're racist. We don't like women. We're biased. We hate gays. We basically hate everybody. We're fascists. I don't know where this is coming from because I haven't met one of those people.
Yeah. It's a spin of the Democrats, but sadly Republicans, I think there's been a lot of feelings as if we should be embarrassed by being Republicans. And I've never felt that way. I've been a Republican since I was 18 years old. And I am I am a single mom. I have three sons. I have been involved in tons of different projects and community service in different elements of my community. You know, there's nothing racist or prejudiced about me. And there's certainly nothing ist in any way. You know, I just believe in small government and low taxes and keeping the government out of my life. Right.
And personal responsibility.
And I want to be able
to believe the same,
raise my kids and be left alone and not have schools and government telling me what to do. And I think most people, if they're honest, actually agree with those principles and those values. But the Democrats have done such a good job of making it seem like being a Republican is something to be ashamed of that a lot of people in Massachusetts will actually register as an independent because they think that if they register as a Republican, they'll get backlash. And frankly,
and they will.
They will.
They have. And I have.
You know, so. So there's it is a challenge and it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, I have been, like I said, an activist since 2012 and I was very visible in my community. I was the most probably outspoken conservative person in my community and in the city of Gloucester, which is very blue collar and very blue political.
Love Gloucester.
And I got a lot of backlash and it was not easy. But I always felt like someone had to say it. And, you know, so I think as Republicans statewide, we need to do a much better job of getting the message out. Like, who are Republicans? Well, first of all, there's a lot of women Republicans. A lot of candidates in this election cycle in Massachusetts were women Republicans. And we had a very diverse slate. And we have a lot of young people now. I mean, We are not what the Democrats' narrative is.
Well, just on the Cape here, we had me, we had Carrie McRae, we had Melissa Alden. You know, obviously we had Leah Allen. We had Cece Calabrese.
Yep.
We had Rayla Campbell. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of other women, but it's, I think once Republican women step up and start to make themselves more visible, I think that's really when we'll take off. And I think we got a lot of moms involved, and I don't consider, you know, even though, you know, Sean Dooley says that, you know, this is the bruise that's, this election is a bruise on the Republican Party. And what I'll say to that is a bruise only shows up after the beating, sometimes days after the beating. So the beating started well before the elections, and some of the state committee people had something to do with it. Like you say, I don't know if you know, we don't need to name names or anything, but we do need to kind of come together and decide, you know, what does it mean to these people who want to wrap their, you know, wrap themselves around Charlie Baker like a scarf. We have to really define what the Republican Party is going to be. And how do we do that?
It's interesting about Charlie because, you know, and I was a Charlie Baker supporter for a very long time.
I was as well.
He lost me during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been very honest and upfront about that. He hurt a lot of small businesses, that people that I knew who had put their life into their small business, and he closed them and he didn't even tell them when they could reopen and acted like they weren't essential. And I thought, for someone who calls himself a Republican, that was really shameful.
Well, everyone's business is essential.
Exactly. Everyone.
You know, there's a sports place down here, Butler's. I forget. How come they had to be closed, but Target could be open?
Exactly. But none of the rules made any sense.
Right.
And the biggest sort of insult to injury for me was what he did to children.
Mm-hmm.
And I have three boys myself, and it was an incredibly hard road, that they hated the online school. They hated not being able to see their friends. I think sticking kids in masks when, you know, I never believed that was healthy for them. Take COVID off the table. I just don't think suppressing children's immune systems is a healthy thing. I think that they should
even psychologically. I mean, part of communication is to recognize facial expression and body language. And when you take that away, it's, you know, it could be a form of torture for, you know, to not see someone's face or not be able to see them smile or not to really know how they react. And
right.
I have a child with a learning disability, and trying to sit in front of a computer was absolutely ridiculous. And then also two of my child's friends committed suicide during 2020. So,
oh yeah. Well, mental health crisis right now is through the roof. And, you know, my biggest thing, you know, my boys, you know, luckily were able to come through it, and that's great. But a lot of kids weren't, you know, by putting everybody in their homes, essentially locking everyone in their homes. There were children that were locked up with their abusers. There were children that were harmed by people, and they couldn't even, and we were told not to go near anybody. And so there wasn't even an intervention for those kids.
How about the parents who had to work? And the kids that were online, and then the three-year-old would walk by, and then the teacher would do a DCF report. And so, you know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to keep people at home and then unemploy a single parent?
It's awful.
That's where he lost me 100%.
In bringing it up, though, was just that when people want to define Republicans in Massachusetts, they often say, well, we all have to be like Charlie Baker. And what I remind people of, and I would remind Charlie if he wanted to talk to me, but I don't think he does, is that when Charlie Baker ran for governor in 2010 and again in 2014, he ran as a fiscal conservative, as a person who said government shouldn't be in your business. I remember those speeches. I remember him talking about that. I remember him saying that even though he was personally pro-choice and more socially moderate than other Republicans, that he just believed that government shouldn't be telling us what to do and that we should be allowed to live our own lives. And he changed a lot between that 2014 version of himself and the 2020 version that, you know, made all these mandates and executive orders that really was huge government overreach.
100% against everything that a Republican is or should be.
Exactly right.
And when you basically lie or you're a turncoat, that's when you lose me. Well, you know, it's one thing if you know something and you say, you know, I know something and I can't tell you, or I don't know, or you just did an about face and left your values on the table of everything that you said that you were. And to me, that's what Charlie Baker did.
Right. So I disagreed with his decision making, and I disagreed with how he moved away from the meaning of being a Republican. He moved away from his own version of being a Republican. He moved away from it completely. And he really doesn't approach what it means to be a Republican anymore, at least not to me. And I'm not a very far right conservative Republican at all. I think I'm a very sort of classic Massachusetts Republican in a lot of ways, but I wanted a governor with an R next to his name who shared my values, and Charlie Baker no longer did. So when I hear people say, and I always laugh when I hear, you know, during the entire Jeff Deal campaign, when a reporter from the Globe would say to me, well, don't you think that you all should be acting more like Charlie Baker? What they're really saying is Charlie Baker's acting like a Democrat and you all Republicans should be acting like Democrats. And no, I don't agree.
Let me ask you this. How many, we have 37 Democratic senators and 3 Republican senators. How many did we have in 2010 when Charlie took the helm?
We've lost senators and we've lost state reps in the time that Charlie has been the de facto leader and the leader of the Republican Party. And that is something that the media never covers. They want so badly to blame Jim Lyons over the last 3 years. It's not Jim. It's just not. And it's also not about money. Jim has, you know, been really barred by that establishment group from effectively raising money. But Charlie Baker's Republican Party, when he had hit the chairman of his choice, the chairwoman of his choice, they raised millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Tony Scabby ran against Julian Cyr. And it's funny because I think I was still a state trooper at the time. And, you know, he was a pilot and also a general down at the Otis Air Force Base where I was in the Air National Guard. So my 3 kids sat atop his wife Debbie's convertible red VW. And I just happened to look at it recently in his OCPF, and I think the GOP gave him $67,000 and he still lost.
Yeah. So, I mean, disgusting. By the way, having the money is good and being able to spend it effectively is good. And you need that to win. All that is true. But what you're hearing a lot, you know, anybody who watches this and hears from the sort of anti-Jim Lyons group that the problem is we didn't raise enough money, or the problem is that Jim is too this, or the problem, none of that is true. We have lost more Republican seats under Charlie than we have under Jim.
I agree.
And that was, and Charlie and Kirsten Hughes.
That's when he was.
That whole crowd raised millions. And we.
But did he start this, you know, because we're seeing this nationwide, we're seeing this with, you know, Ryan at the federal level, and we're seeing it in a lot of the state committee people here and some of the elected Republicans is, you know, our state committee person down here admitted on the radio that they follow the rules. Some of the elected Republicans down here follow the unwritten rule where elected Republicans refuse to support Republican candidates against incumbent Democrats.
Yep.
So had a trifecta loss down here under our state committee person. We lost Tracy Post's seat. We lost Tim Whalen's seat. We lost the sheriff race. And we lost the district attorney's race, which hasn't been Democrat since 1970. Now, that's a big loss.
So I think that
if we don't follow the unwritten rule, that we Republicans will actually be electing more progressives when it's my opinion that they are the progressives?
So I don't know. I don't feel that that's a justification, you know, at all. I think that they tell themselves that to make themselves feel better. What they really want to do is go along to get along. And they think that, you know, being the head of a small little, you know, being the big fish in a very small pond is the goal. And I don't agree. As far as, you know, why we lose, the biggest reason why Republicans lose and Democrats win is one reason, and that's unity. Republicans don't have any. And by the way, you know, we did behind Charlie Baker, we were unified. The party unified when Charlie ran in 14, the party unified. Conservatives supported Charlie, moderates supported Charlie. They all did. And then after that, there was a concerted effort to sort of rid the party of anybody that was too conservative, that didn't fit a mold. And when you start,
that wasn't a Charlie Baker conservative, which is basically right. A progressive. I mean, look at Sean Dooley's taking pictures with Mara Healey. Charlie Baker came down and went to church with a state rep down here that, God bless him, he was a boxer. He boxed for 20 years. He cannot form a sentence with three words in it. I'm sure he's, you know, people think he's a nice person. He's raised hands to women. It's documented. And Charlie Baker came down and went to church with him. Now, the person that was running against him is a very, very wonderful person, educated, William Peters, PhD, in biotechnology and engineering and an MBA, and studied at, did research for viruses at Hopkins. So Charlie Baker's actually going to come down here and work against a Republican trying to get elected and sitting in church with a Democrat who raises hands to women and can't speak a sentence.
Well, that's the real issue. I mean, Democrats will clear the field. You know, I said this the other day on Barry Richards' show. You know, the Democrats had a primary. They had Maura Healey and Sonia Chang Diaz came out of the convention with the exact same numbers as the Republicans did, right? So Jeff Diehl won the convention with 71% of the vote and Chris Doty received 29%. Maura Healey won her convention with 71% of the delegates and Sonia Chang Diaz had 29%. Within a week, Sonia Chang Diaz had dropped out of the race and the Democrats gelled behind Maura Healey. And she was able to sort of sit and relax and raise money and do whatever she wanted for.
And Kim Driscoll as well.
Exactly. While Jeff had to duke it out through a primary and then come out of that primary bloodied and bruised and have to try to, you know, raise enough money to take on a Democrat machine.
That had to have been by design.
The Democrats unify and the Republicans don't. And I don't ever want to hear too conservative, too moderate from anybody. And by the way, when it was Charlie Baker, those years ago, I had plenty of people on my Gloucester committee who would tell me, you know, I can't support Charlie. He's not conservative enough. And I would say, well, he's a heck of a lot more conservative than the Democrat, than Martha Coakley or Jay Gonzalez, right? So I fought that battle on Charlie's behalf. And then I fought it on Jeff's behalf. And the truth is, Republicans, we beat ourselves.
Why do people want to say that? Why do they say he's not enough? You know, the Scott in Judy Crocker uses an example all the time. Scott Brown had the gall to get up and say, you know, you disagree with Elizabeth Warren 100% of the time. You'll disagree with me, you know, 95% of the time. You got what you got. So why are Republicans, why are they so stubborn in the fact that if they don't check every single box? I mean, could you imagine if you had to have your friends and they had to meet 100% of your criteria? You'd never have any friends. Your dentist, if you knew everything he did in his personal time, you'd never have a dentist or a doctor. I mean, you have to choose what you want to support. What are you committed to? Are you committed to Republican values, or are you going to just give in to a Democrat who you're going to disagree with all the time?
So that's what they did. And they did it for, you know, the establishment group in the Republican Party absolutely wanted Maura Healey to win so that then they could try to take control back of the party. They absolutely did. It was a concerted effort. It's
That's
really
disgusting. It's un-American, and it's
they wanted us all. And what ended up happening, and it's kind of they beat themselves, right? They mm-hmm. tried to pick and choose which candidates they would support, and those candidates lost. Because the truth is, we're not big enough to win divided, a house divided no. against itself.
Well, like I said, there's 4.71 million voters in Massachusetts, and only, 540,000 are registered Republicans, and the rest are unenrolled.
They don't even vote in gubernatorial years. They only vote in presidential years. I mean, the point is that if we want to look at the problem, we have to look in the mirror.
And I agree.
That is, and by the way, I 100% look in the mirror myself. I mean, I ran a campaign and I am an imperfect person, right? I did a lot of things right in running the campaign and I made some mistakes too. And that is part of the gig, and that's true for any candidate. No one is perfect.
Trust me. This was my first time. And it was, I'll tell you, I absolutely loved it. It was such a great experience. I learned a lot about my friends, my family, family members that supported me, that didn't support me, friends that supported me, friends that didn't support strangers. I had more strangers support me. And I started to get down on it. But then, I had this coach, Stacey McKenna. I hope to have her on at some point. And when you think about it, my friends choose this? No, I chose it. So I can't be mad. Did my family choose it? No, I chose it. So I can't be mad at, I'm still a little upset at a couple of them, but not enough to, not to hold a grudge or anything, but it is really difficult and it does divide and people are afraid to take a stand and they're also uninformed. And that is what's so upsetting is you're trying to convince someone who's already made their mind up on a false premise.
So I think that the other thing Republicans need to accept is that you can't just show up in an election at election time. The Democrats never stop, right? I tell it all the time. It's 100% true. And I'll use Gloucester as an example because I've lived here and I know it best. The Democrats show up to every city council meeting. They write letters to the editor every week in the local paper. They are the ones that are at the food pantry and they are at food drives and they are running nonprofits and they do it constantly. They never stop. Republicans tend as a group, maybe not me or you, Darlin, but as a group, Republicans tend to be like, well, I vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, that's enough to make any change. You can't just show up one day every 4 years and say you did your part and then complain about the election results, right? So I think that's the other thing that as a state party, as a group of voters, as people in our community, as local town and city committees, I mean, one of the things I always told my members, I ran the Gloucester Republican City Committee for 6 years. I was the chairwoman. And I used to say, we all have to show up and get involved in nonprofits. Like we can't just sit back and think it's just political. Like there is no such thing as everything is political, right?
You have to increase your network. You're only as good as your network. One of my bosses, John Allen, when I started the state police, that was one of the things that, I learned so many things from that regimented discipline. And one of them is don't ever forget who you represent, be true to your word and that you're only as good as your network. And, if you don't like somebody, fine. But there's always people that you don't have to like to work with. Now, the people that lie to you, I say that that's a different story. Call out those Republicans all day long.
Yeah, and that's fine. But one of the things that I found when I was running the committee was, we would get more members because we were so active all the time and we were out there and we were visible. And we also ended up changing the narrative on what Republicans were because we were showing that that wasn't the case. It's really tough to say, oh, what a bunch of jerks when they're out raising money to put wreaths on veterans' graves or, you know, whatever we were doing. We did a toy drive for children at Shriners Hospital. And we did this because all these people were doing it anyway, but we did it as a political group. And
because that's what we care about, because we care about our community. But so many people are, I don't have time, or, you know, they don't want to be labeled this or that, or, you know, and this is what it's come down to, is what are you committed to now? What really are you committed to? I mean, look what we have now. I said to one of my friends, who's a considerable business person, I said, what are you going to do when you go to sell your business? You know that you're going to pay a double tax on things that you sell, things that you buy. If you're a distribution company, you're a transportation company, really. You're a trucking company. And you voted for that Democrat who failed to suspend the gas tax. So now your diesel is going to cost you so much more. But he's a good guy. You can't just vote for someone because they're a good guy. Or, you know, in Jeff Deal's instance, you know, he's not this or he's not that. But he wants to stand up for you. He wanted to protect your children in school. He was against masking. He was for free speech. He was for bringing energy to the state. If all those things, you know, those checked a ton of boxes, but because he didn't punch Maura Healey in the face,
right?
Which, people are upset. But
both of his debates with Maura Healey. I mean, I thought Jeff won both of his debates, and
I thought he did a great job, honestly, because really, Maura Healey, as an attorney, you know, words matter for attorneys. Words matter. And when you say things that are untrue, like if he becomes a governor, he's going to abolish abortion. No, Mari, you know very well that we have a legislative branch and we have an executive branch, and the legislative branch makes the laws and the executive branch enforces the laws. So that's one thing that the Democrats do really well, is they lie by omission, or they just directly lie.
Right.
So,
And as a group, as a party, you know, we need to be calling them out. We need to show a much more positive view of what it means to be Republican, a much more true view of what it means to be a Republican. And we need to be out there in our communities, and we have to do it all the time. We can't just do it in an election year. You know, one of the things, I am the chair of the candidates committee. I tell people sometimes it takes two election cycles to get elected. And you shouldn't feel discouraged if you don't get it on the first try. Like, run.
I was not discouraged at all. 5,000 people voted for me.
Exactly.
All those 5,000 people, it was actually an amazing experience. But since you're on the candidates committee, how do we get some more people to run for state committee? And we have about 15 minutes left. So what can we do? Who do people, if they want to run for state committee, how do they do it? Who do they contact?
So the state committee elections are not until March of 2024.
But they should contact somebody prior to that.
Yeah, they can contact me if you're interested in running.
Okay, how do they do that?
Contact me. So my email address is on the Mass GOP website, but it's also AmandaOrlando79@gmail.com. And anyone's welcome to email me. Darylyn has my number, you know. Okay. I think the whole state has my number now from running.
Are you on Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, 978-559-9404. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I actually just got rid of Facebook because it's a big time suck for me. I end up spending and I'm getting ready to study for the bar exam, and I had to block out distractions. But listen, if you want to find me, just Google Amanda Orlando. You will find me.
What are we looking for, people? And tell us what's the time commitment for them. Position, just so they know this.
Yeah, the actual commitment, I mean, is really as much or as little as you choose it to be. We would ask, if you're going to run, that you want to do a lot, that you want to put time in. It's only 4 meetings a year that you're required to be at, right? The state committee convenes 4 times per year.
Great for someone who's social, who likes to go to social events, maybe someone who's retired, maybe even someone who's younger. It'd be great to get some younger people that if they're a work at home kind of person.
And your goal is to build the Republican Party in your area, right? So like I have 19. They just redistricted. So I went from having 17 towns to, I think, 19 towns, maybe 20. And my job, along with Rich Baker, is to build those committees in my local town. So, you know, I spend time meeting with the town chairs of the town committees in my district and talking to them about how to build it up. And if they have events, I try to go to them. Rich tries to go to them. We try to break up, you know, the district. So that's really the job of a state committee person. And then to support candidates. I mean, if a candidate is running statewide and they come to your town or your area, they should be able to call a state committee person and say, hey, can you introduce me around?
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Can you introduce me to 10 donors? I need to raise some money. You know, can you,
voters,
where the best places for me to go to shake? Right. I mean, you're supposed to be helping candidates succeed because
down here, the Nantucket Republican Committee and the Chatham Republican Committee are absolutely, I mean, inborn. They are just aces. They did all that. Nantucket works really, really super hard. And if we could have Nantucket and Chatham and Bourne RTCs all over the place, you know, we would just do so much better in developing candidates. But do you think we should start to develop candidates for school committees? You know, can we focus on local races?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2023, every town will have, you know, their town elections. Towns have them this coming spring, usually April or May, and cities have them this fall in like November. So that means boards of selectmen, school committees, city councils, town clerks, you know, those board of registrars, like all of those town offices.
I want every Republican.
Like if you want to get your feet wet running for office and you want to learn from the ground up and you want to succeed, because it's much easier to succeed in those are nonpartisan. So you're a Republican, you have that belief system. You're going to bring that belief system and those policies into what you do, but you're not running with an R next to your name, right? So it's a great way to build a network for yourself and get your feet wet on how to run
support.
And then you're in a really important position, because then when the Barnstable vault is locked, rather than have to depend on the media to tell us, we would have somebody we know is on our side to give us the truth about what is happening. Eureka, right? What would happen? And imagine, parents, if you had school committee members that were like-minded to you and you could call them up and say, hey, what the hell are you guys doing? Leave the kids alone.
Because we're losing kids from public schools. And what I see happening soon is the numbers dwindle and there'll be less funds. And our schools here are extremely top heavy. 60% of our Barnstable town budget goes to the schools.
Yep.
And the schools are just approaching average, which seems like not money that's not very well spent. So
awful. It's like that everywhere.
So what are we going to do about, you know, if leadership starts from the top down? I don't know too much about, I know a little bit about Ron Kaufman. I mean, I think he's been around since 1977, and I think he's lost 562 federal races. So, you know, he was back in the day a Reagan supporter, and then somehow he flopped over to be a Mitt Romney supporter, and he's still a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. And how does he get to self-profit from his position as being the national Republican person and also be a lobbyist in D.C.? And is that why we don't have any Republicans, Congress people in Massachusetts? Because then we wouldn't need Ron as a lobbyist.
I don't know about that. And I'm not going to speculate on how he makes his money. You know, I don't have any facts, but I'll tell you what, he's been in that position for a very long time and we have not seen success, right? We have not seen money come back to Massachusetts from the National Republican Party, and we certainly haven't seen people be elected. So Ron, respectfully, it's time, you know, enough. Like you've done it for, I think, 35 years. And in 35 years, all we've done is lose. And is that just Ron Kaufman's fault? Of course, it's not just his fault, but he's part of the problem. And like I said, we all have to look in the mirror, right, for our part in it.
Now, who would be a good candidate for that? Would it be someone like, I mean, would it be a Scott Brown? Would it be?
Well, it has to be a person, you know, but that person is the Massachusetts, is one of the two Massachusetts representatives to the Republican National.
He's in New Hampshire now, right?
Yeah. So it would be Scott Brown. But there are a lot of people who I think.
Well, Coughlin hasn't lived in Massachusetts since the 90s.
Right. He doesn't live here. He has
a big mansion in D.C.
He calls his sister's house his residence. I mean, look, you know,
just
he's
like the woman who lives in Tennessee. I mean, Lindsay, yes.
The big important thing, though, that everyone has to understand is that Ron's job as national committee man is to help Massachusetts Republicans get elected. He hasn't done that. And I'll tell you, he didn't help Jeff Deal at all.
Who did he help?
That's a great question. I know he had fundraisers for candidates in other states. And it's like, what, you know.
and back to, is that helping your lobbyist business? And, you know, should there be some, maybe some different rules in the national committee position and in the state committee positions? I mean, I don't know that, you know, you should pick one candidate in your district and not support them after a primary.
I think, well, that's just it, right? When you said after the primary, right? We need to be unified.
Right.
There should not be
What do we need to do? We need to all look in the mirror ourselves, and we all need to reach out. And there's not one fast and easy solution, but I think if we all, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, what was that commercial? Like you tell 10 people, and they tell, was that a hair thing or something? I forget.
Right.
But it's up to each individual person as well, because sometimes you can start a movement from the bottom up instead of from the top down.
So I think that when we say grassroots, right, we're talking about the grass, like the roots of the grass growing up. And I agree it has to start from the bottom and not as I think we look too much at the top and we don't look enough at what we can accomplish at the lower level of the pyramid. That's the first thing. And the second thing I think is one of the rules that I would like to see changed immediately is that I don't think state committee people should be allowed to have state jobs and be on the state committee. Because if you have a state job, you're not able to raise money. You're not allowed to raise
money.
Well,
it's not only that, but you have a bent towards whichever, if it is a Republican, whatever Republican is in office, or even if a Democrat's in office, then you can be swayed with your actual employment.
Well, absolutely. I mean, right now we have, I think, something like 25 members of the state committee who are employed by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So they work for the governor. And yeah, if
I think works for the government. I think Julie works for the government. You know, and how about if you get arrested or if you get, you know, if you do something, you know, I think if it wasn't Julie, I'm sorry. It was, he worked for the DCR, but whatever. He worked for the DCR, used his emergency lights and then got fired from the DCR, but was still on the state committee. But if he was Rachel Rollins, you know, he probably would have gotten a pass, but there has to be some sort of rules for, you're in the public, you're not being paid, but you are in the public view and there should be an integrity that is well beyond what Massachusetts Ethics Commission would consider poor behavior.
I think we all have to just be, you know, when you run for the state committee, your job is to help the Republican Party and Republican candidates. And if you're not willing to do that because you have a selfish motive or a personal agenda, then you are in the wrong place. You know, I will tell you, Darilyn, the first job I ever had in politics where anyone paid me was running Jeff's campaign. And that was purely because that was a full-time job, right? And I had to have a job, like, you know, I couldn't not be paid for 18 months. It was the first job. Other than that, I've always been a volunteer, and being on the state committee is a volunteer position. I'm there because I think Republicans should be elected, and I do a lot to help them do that. If half the committee is not going to help Republicans be elected, then I have no idea what they're doing there.
Then and why are they arguing?
If they're going to help Republicans, then they're helping Democrats, and they definitely shouldn't be on the Republican state committee.
I agree. And that should be one of the bylaws, is that if you're not putting out an effort and you don't have proof of a product, that you can't be even an RTC and you've only grown the party by 3 people in 10 years.
Right.
Something's wrong. Same with the state committee, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think that activity begets activity. We have to show that we're doing things that are helpful. We have to show some successes and people are attracted to that. But we have too many people who take up a role because they think it gets them something and they don't give anything. And it should be way more about giving than getting. It's just, that's just how it should be. And if they don't want to,
that's kind of a universal rule for most good-hearted people.
True. That's true. So maybe I'm just preaching to the choir, but.
Well, only to me, but I do a lot of pro bono work myself. I believe in the Constitution and civil rights. And when I see that people's civil rights and constitutional rights are violated, that's important to me. And those are the jobs that that I investigate for free. I hope that you will come back again with us. I know Diane will have some questions for you, but as we start to close out, I think the only thing you have to do to really get kicked off the state committee is to be convicted of a felony.
Yeah, it's a pretty like low bar, to be honest. I will admit, and I'm not suggesting, by the way, that I'm like, I'm so perfect and everybody else isn't doing their job.
Oh, I didn't assume that.
No, I make the point that if all of us did just a little bit more, we would have gotten a lot further. And
just
if we
everybody row in the same direction,
Yeah.
Or at least come together and say, don't not show up. Like not showing up and not having the discussion, in being an obstructionist never moves anything forward.
You can't move forward if people are drilling holes in your boat.
Right.
And that was literally how, unfortunately, this is how the Massachusetts Republicans have acted. They keep drilling holes in our own boat. So it's not our opposition that's causing the problem. It's us. And we can fix it, but it will take everybody looking in the mirror and then deciding to be different. And
well, we're going to keep talking about it. Diane and I are going to keep calling it out. We are on Facebook on Double D Uncensored. Some people were freaked out about the name. Like, you can't call it Double D's. I'm like, it's not Double D's. It's Double D, Darilyn and Diane. So you can catch us on Double D Uncensored on Facebook. Diane is at 1031 or DMB 1031. I'm at Darilyn Haywood on Twitter. You are at Amanda Orlando. Is there any numbers after your
79? The year I was born.
Orlando 70. Oh my goodness, I'm 66. You're youngin'. we're gonna keep this conversation open, and I hope that if you speak to any of your fellow state committee people, we would love to have their input. We would love to have them on the show. Would love to know more about what they're doing in their particular community. And if anybody does want to be a state committee person, their job would be to recruit people, to raise money for candidates, to get out the vote, to do press releases, write letters to the editor, to be collaborative, to believe in personal liberty, smaller government, and anything else you want to add?
Just if you want to run for state committee and do good, then we want you. If you're trying to run for state committee because you think it's some leg up to something better, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And please do not apply.
That's how all right. Well, Amanda Orlando, thank you so much. And Diane Byer, I am sorry that you weren't able to join us tonight. And I'm going to leave it on that end. Is if you want to do good, please run for state committee. Reach out to myself, Darilyn Haywood, Diane Byer, or Amanda Orlando. And we will speak to you soon. It's been an honor to speak to you. And please let us know how the studying goes for the bar. We wish you the very best.
Will do. Thanks, Darilyn.
Thank you.
Bye.